And a pleasant good evening from the El Pacifico, the world-famous Phil Henry Show here in our loft studio. Truth is our bitch. We go around the world and around the nation and around to bring you the latest on what am going on. This is Phil Henry, and we're online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And we are also on your radio. So if you go to our website and you look up the affiliate list there, you'll find an affiliate near you. We have a lot of people asking, well, where are you? Where can I hear you on the radio? And you can find us on that affiliate list where we is on the radio. But you can, for sure, you can find us online at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. Just got done with another rehearsal of our one-man show this afternoon. And I spent this past weekend in Pasadena, California, which is my hometown, my home digs, the hood, where I attended a function and where I, for the first time in several weeks, engaged in the eating of sugar, which automatically gave me sleep paralysis. Now, I know that you look at me, Margaret, as if I've lost my mind, and Bud, you look at me like I've just evolved from a seed pod. Robert, you seem to not care. You're looking as if you're cleaning your fingernails. Is that what you're doing?
What?
You're cleaning your fingernails?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean by sleep paralysis? Tell people what is meant by sleep paralysis, please. Because I don't think they know.
I've told the story a million times. Sleep paralysis is a state in which you are awakening. And you are in this, I just learned this word the other day, you're in the hypnagogic state being that state between sleeping and awakening. I know it sounds like a made-up word. It is a made-up word. All words are made up. But this is an actual valid word that's used in the fields of...
Hypnagogia.
Yes, hypnagogia. Thank you, Bud.
What is hypnagogia?
I don't even know if hypnagogia exists. But it's used in the psycho... It's used in the psych ward, and it's a state where you believe that you're awake, and in point of fact, you are sort of awake, but you're still dreaming. I can't describe it. But you are awake. You're awake enough to know that your body, you can't move your body. Your body is paralyzed, and it's one of the most frightening states of mind-body to be in, because you can't move, and you spend an inordinate amount of energy trying to move your body, and you finally do. You finally start getting your arm going, and then your the rest of your body going, and you finally, once you're able to move, then you also wake up. And that happened to me this past weekend for the first time in a long time, and I think it's because I was eating some crap, because when I got on the diet, man, all that stuff went away.
You're talking about having a diet. What?
The diet that I went on caused me to eat good food, and the good food didn't make me have weird things happen to me. That's all I can tell you, you know. As all of the great nutritionists will tell you, eating the good food will make all the weird stuff not happen to you.
Exactly.
Right. So that happened this past weekend, among other things. Then I had some flaky dream last night that caused me to wake up and just want to commit suicide. So it was a fantastic weekend.
What do you think happened, man? You're having all these bad dreams.
I think what happened was it's just a crap weekend. I don't know. Stuff started out good, and then it just slowly went downhill. I don't know what it was. I don't know what it was, man. But I do know that we've got a show in store for you tonight that ought to be all kinds of fun. And we also would like to remind you our podcast is out, episode 122. This is a podcast that was recorded live at the Beverly Hills Museum of Television and Radio, and it features Ted Bell, and that's who's going to be on our program this evening as well as a special guest, Ted Bell. And I think you'll like that. That is episode 122 of the Phil Henry Show podcast, available now on iTunes, and it's free. And, of course, at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass, you can watch our live streaming video of the show, which is happening right now. Now, this is something, Margaret, you found this, right?
Yes, this is from Business Insider. I think people are going to find this to be a real eye-opener. This is amazing.
What is it?
The National Football League, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Doesn't pay taxes.
The National Football League.
The National Football League pays no taxes. Tax exempt. Now, it's a temptation to ask you men, how do you feel about that? But I have a hunch that even the most conservative of you will feel it's okay.
I have a hunch you're wrong.
No, I'm right.
No, I have a hunch you're wrong. If what you say is true, the National Football League pays no taxes, then I have a hunch that even the most conservative football fan will say, that's no good. They must have. Now, let me see this story. This is the Business Insider. The NFL is still technically a nonprofit organization. You may not know it, but the National Football League is a nonprofit organization. It may seem absurd that a collection of teams that generated at least $9 billion in revenue in 2011 would be given tax-exempt status, but the NFL is technically classified as a 501c6 organization. Here's how the IRS describes 501, parentheses C, numeral 6, tax-exempt status. Section 501, parentheses C, parentheses 6, of the Internal Revenue Code provides for the exemption of business leagues, chambers of commerce, real estate boards, boards of trade, and professional football leagues, which are not organized for profit, and no part of the net earnings of which inures to the benefit of any private shareholder or individual. That's right there that bothers me.
Wait, just read on, Phil.
Well, no, I mean, I'm just right there. I'm wondering how they're defining things. It's obviously notable that only professional football leagues are included here as opposed to all sporting leagues, because we were quoting there from the IRS tax code, and they only mentioned professional football leagues. The exemption for football stems from lobbying efforts by Pete Rozelle in the 1960s to earn an antitrust exemption for the merger of the NFL and the AFL. The antitrust and tax exemptions were cleverly attached to an uncontroversial 1966 bill to suspend the investment credit and the allowance of accelerated depreciation in the case of certain real property. Does anybody know how to interpret that phrase? The answer to that question is nine.
Well, there's got to be a business...
Probably some real estate guy.
I was going to say some business attorney.
Well, yeah, but I mean, does the average person know how to interpret that? No. The NFL-AFL merger language, the NFL-AFL merger language, was included at the end of the bill that had nothing else to do with football. Here is the meat of the IRS explanation of how these tax-exempt leagues are supposed to work. A business league is an association of persons having some common business interest, the purpose of which is to promote such common interest and not to engage in a regular business of a kind ordinarily carried on for profit. Trade associations and professional associations are business leagues. To be exempt, a business league's activities must be devoted to improving business conditions of one or more lines of business as distinguished from performing particular services for individual persons. No part of a business league's net earnings may inure to the benefit of any private shareholder or individual, and may not be organized for profit to engage in an activity ordinarily carried on for profit, even if the business is operated on a cooperative basis or produces only enough income to be self-sustaining. The term line of business generally refers either to an entire industry or to all components of an industry within a geographic area. It does not include a group composed of businesses that market a particular brand within an industry. I read that really fast because even if I read it slow, and...
Even if you read it slow, it'd mean what?
Even if I read it slow, nobody would understand. It seems inconceivable that the NFL is not engaging in a regular business of a kind ordinarily carried on for profit, but how are their efforts to maximize profits any different from those of Major League Baseball, the National Basketball Association, or the NFL? As far as the NFL's net earnings, the profit was actually in the red in 2009, according to its latest available return. Virtually all of the league's $192.2 million in revenue in 2009 came from membership dues and assessment. See, the NFL is the business league. It's the Chamber of Commerce for the National Football League owners.
Well,
I think that in a lot of ways this article is true, but it's a little deceptive. They're talking about the NFL, not the owners, not the teams. They're talking about the league. They're talking about the association.
Yeah, but I mean, let's say they made $192 million.
Well, but yes, it was $192 million that was actually in the red because they had expenses.
Oh, well, you know, look, here is the truth. The teams get taxed. The owners of the teams get taxed. The corporations that own the teams get taxed. Don't even worry about it. There's payroll tax. There's corporate tax. The New York Giants, Inc., the Denver Broncos, Inc., and so on. They all pay corporate taxes, and I would guess they pay a fairly hefty sum. The National Football League, that organization that is the membership umbrella of all of these, it's kind of like saying, well, as they said, it's like the Chamber of Commerce. You can be Joe's Hardware Store, and then you can be a member of the Chamber of Commerce. To say that the Chamber of Commerce didn't pay taxes is not to say that Joe's Hardware Store didn't pay taxes. Now, the only thing that's kind of deceptive about this is that the NFL is not exactly that.
Oh, yes, it is, Phil.
No, it isn't.
Yes, you're thinking of some of the newer leagues that do have ownership stake in the teams. And there are newer leagues like that, newer football leagues. The NFL is not one of them.
Well,
what are you talking about? You're a lady. You don't know.
I'm a lady, but you're a man, and I know more about it than you do because you're an idiot.
Well, all right. That's all of that aside.
True.
All of that aside, I understand what you're saying. The NFL doesn't have an ownership. Although the NFL will take over, they will take over the operation of a team if it's financially not doing well. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back. Ted Bell's going to join us here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You talk about football?
We'll probably talk about football with Ted and other things, steaks, meat in your mouth, that kind of thing. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Movies.
Yeah, I was thinking that we would have, I just saw Hell is for Heroes. They just had this on the military channel. I thought that'd be a great idea. Just something that is going to keep a male-driven clientele of the drive-rib room coming in for more for months to come. And of course, then we've got, the baseball season coming up and football.
You don't think that basketball and...
I don't think basketball drives the crowd there in the drive-rib room anywhere near as much as the football action does.
Did you hear what we were talking about here, Ted, concerning the NFL?
Yeah, I heard that. Let me tell you this. I think you get into a dangerous situation when you ask the fans to understand the complexities of tax law as it applies to their favorite sport, especially if it's professional. Now, I'm not saying the average fan can't understand it. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that it gets into an area that is so technical and is potentially so explosive that the emotional aspect to it, saying to a fan, you love football, but there is a tax law or a tax code that seems to expose your favorite sport or your favorite teams to very legitimate criticism vis-a-vis taxes and the amount they're paying. And I think that causes the average football fan or the average sports fan or what have you, I think that causes them to sort of take a step back and get a little confused.
Well, what do you mean by confused? I mean, you're saying that they don't have the ability to assess...
I'm saying that they do not have the ability to intelligently assess the situation because you're combining two areas, Bill, that are seemingly contradictory. One is the cold and meticulous analysis of money and law, and the other is the very white-hot world of emotion as it pertains to sports. And trying to get those two areas to marry or to those two areas to intersect and interlock, I think is difficult. And so I would rather, you know, I don't think it's a good idea to even bring this stuff up.
Well, I think you're talking a lot of talk that sounds like fancy talk for just don't bring it up to them because they don't get it. And
no, I think I already said to you, no, I didn't say that. I said that I think, you know, you're going to have a difficult time.
Ted, this is Margaret. When you say they're going to have a difficult time, isn't that your way of sort of injecting that thought? You don't know if people are not going to have an easy or difficult time. Look at the football fans in Los Angeles. They love football, but they're not building a stadium.
Well, shit, look at the football fans in Los Angeles. I mean, they love football, but they're not building a stadium. So what does that say?
Well, that says, well, I think what she's saying is that means that there's football, there are football fans here, but they're not so overblown and overwhelmed by the need and the love of football that they can't see clearly that they don't want to spend money on a stadium.
Think that there are football fans here. I think that's the difference. I think that L.A. has long since lost any passion that it had for sports. I think that L.A. has been overrun by a kind of... I think this town has become a sort of a hermitage or some sort of a safe harbor for all of these people that hate sports and that hate football in particular and hate the Super Bowl and hate having anything having to do with the with the celebration of sports because it's so violent, you know, and it's so this and that, and it's because it's politically incorrect. And I think you got a city here that is a safe haven for that, and I think it shows us for what we are, a city that's been overwhelmed and overrun by these touchy-feely types that couldn't find any other place to live.
And so this is, in other words, so these are people that have moved here, huh?
Absolutely. I think they're people that have moved. If you look at L.A., L.A. is by nature a football city. At one time, we had five professional football teams here in the 40s, back when they had minor league and major league, all that. So Los Angeles is very much a football city. But now it isn't because of all these soft, these touchy-feelies, and these new agers, and it makes me sick to my stomach.
We're talking to Ted Bell here from Ted's of Beverly Hills about the alleged tax situation. There's no real controversy here. The NFL doesn't pay taxes because it's not that the NFL doesn't pay taxes. It's that it is exempt from paying any real significant tax as an organization. But the teams pay.
Of course the teams pay. Of course the teams pay. But then again, that was something that was brought up by these touchy-feely types that hate professional sports and want to impugn and malign, particularly the NFL, in the eyes and the minds of people that love this sport. And I think it's a crying shame.
All right, Dean Wheeler's going to come on here in a moment and engage you, Ted, in a debate on this topic. Ted Bell is with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Dean, of course, is the owner of the Northern California Holistic Center. And Dean is going to take the side of you know, he's going to take the contrary side, if you will.
Not to interrupt, but he comes from Northern California, right?
Yeah.
So he comes from that area of the state where they've had traditionally great football teams. Down south, here in Los Angeles, we don't have football, professional football, any more than we've got any real shot at winning a World Series. You know, we haven't had professional football here in years, as you know. And you got a guy from a Northern California Holistic Center who's going to start talking all kinds of stuff about how he loves, about how he thinks the NFL. Forget it.
Right. That's what I was hoping.
Well, I don't want to go into it, but I just think it's, you know, some guys have really got it so good that they just decide to play it any way they want.
Well, you know, you can't blame the man for coming from Northern California.
Yes, I can. Oh, yes, I can.
All right. Well, we're going to talk to Dean and find out why he feels as he feels, that the NFL not paying taxes is wrong and a whole lot of other stuff. It may be very predictable, and I'm sure that he's got his... he may need his facts straightened out a little bit. Ted Bell has joined us as well, and we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL and philhendryshow.com.
Whether you want to come in for a cool drink, whether you want to go in for one of the greatest steaks you're ever going to have, whether you want to just come in and put your feet up, we'd rather that you, well, we'd rather you buy something. I'm not saying to think it.
Well, I'm sure people understand.
Although, I want to be very clear, though. We'd rather you not come in and just, you know, it's very difficult. I guess I'll pass on explaining.
I don't think you need to explain.
Well, we've had people come in, especially, again, I have this problem. No, you know, I'd rather not.
You got a problem with my listeners?
No, I didn't say your listeners, did I?
That's who you're referring to.
I'm referring to people that have come into my restaurant, that have heard about my restaurant on your radio show, and they have sat down and they look around as if they are touring something or as if they're on a Disney ride and they don't buy anything. Yes. So if that's your listeners, then yes.
I think if they heard about your show on my...
My show on your restaurant? Wow.
No, your restaurant.
Yeah, okay. Nice going there. Way to, you know, nice going, Dr. Leary. I think you,
What does that Dr. Leary crack mean?
I think you've got some brain cells that are scrambled, don't you?
Well, not for the reasons he might.
I understand that. I'm just saying, your restaurant or your show?
My show, they heard about your restaurant on.
That's right.
Okay, and you're intimating there for that people are coming into your... Never mind, folks. If you go into Ted's of Beverly Hills, please buy something.
Well, I want to follow that up. Please buy a meal. Don't buy a... If you say that to them, they're going to sit there and buy a breadstick or something. I don't know what they're going to do.
How can you buy a breadstick?
You can sit down and... You know what I'm talking about.
I understand what you're talking about. If they go into your bar, do you have a minimum?
All I'm saying is, Phil, I want people to come in and enjoy themselves. Ted's of Beverly Hills is a great restaurant. I don't think I should have to say, please come in and actually buy something. And only... God darn it.
All right, let me get Dean Wheeler in here.
Well, I want to finish the point that I'm making.
Hold on, let me get... Because Dean's been hanging on. Dean...
Yeah, hi, Phil. I want to just mention something to Ted. It's Dean Wheeler. Ted, how are you doing?
I'm fine.
Let me just say this. I think that anybody listening to the broadcast should go into Ted's of Beverly Hills, and it just doesn't pay unless you sit down and have a steak. If you don't, then you can certainly sit out on the street, on a curb, drinking from a refrigerated bottle of wine. A refrigerated bottle of wine, I think, is nice.
All right, so in other words, they're winos.
Why is it that when Dean comes on here and tries to help me...
But a minute ago, you didn't want him talking.
It wasn't that he didn't want me talking. He wanted to finish his point. But I think what I'm saying is, Phil, when it comes to your listeners, and this is no criticism.
I think it is a criticism when you say that my listeners are going to sit on a curb and drink a refrigerated bottle of wine.
No, that is not a criticism. That's a relatable, Dean.
Yes, it's a relatable statement.
A relatable statement.
A relatable statement. Okay, so here's something that you guys listening to the Phil Hendry Show can relate to. If you go into Ted's of Beverly Hills and you cannot afford a steak...
Phil, if it's so relatable, why do you have to say to them, here's a relatable statement?
Yeah, no kidding. This is why I get into this with you, Phil. You're always stating the obvious when you don't need to.
No, I'm going to finish what I'm going to say. So you guys listening to the show right now, here's something that you'll probably understand... Get yourself a refrigerated bottle of wine and sit on a curb and enjoy it. There. Is that good enough?
Well, I don't think I put it that way, Phil. I think I said you can enjoy a refrigerated bottle of wine sitting. He said sitting on a curb. He didn't say sitting on a curb. And I think there's a real difference, Phil, and it's a subtle difference, but it's one that you don't often grasp. I'm just trying to avoid a fight here. I don't.
All right, let's get into what it was that we wanted to talk about then.
Why are you upset?
Oh, I'm not upset. I think I'm not upset. I think that it's an interesting statement.
No, hold on for a minute. Do you hear him? He goes, I'm not upset. You know, let the record show that's what you did.
All right, okay, so my voice cracked, but I'm not upset. I just think it's a very interesting statement, and I think it is slightly insulting to say to my audience that they have to drink a refrigerated bottle of wine.
But you're not upset, but it is insulting.
Were you intending to insult me?
No, I was not.
I'm not really upset. I think I'm disappointed. There's a good word.
Why are you disappointed? All right, this ought to be good. Watch this, folks. Why are you disappointed, Phil?
You know, Ted, because you've got Dean now weighing in on your side, you're feeling all powerful and everything, and you're going to have some fun. Is that it?
No. I'm asking the audience. I'm asking you, and I'm telling the audience, watch this. Let's have some fun. Why are you disappointed?
Okay, so in other words, you're going to have some fun, and you're asking the audience to watch this, but you're not trying to have a moment here in the sun. You're not trying to have a Ted moment.
I don't even know what you're talking about, but why are you disappointed?
I'm disappointed that you guys would take that route, that you would say the listeners of the Phil Hendry Show will understand when we say grab yourself a refrigerated bottle of wine and sit on a curb. Okay, I'm disappointed because I think you guys could find a better way of addressing my audience. I'm disappointed because I think you could find a better way of talking to them without insulting them. I'm disappointed.
Go ahead. Phil, how do you figure we're insulting them? If we say that to your audience and they say, that's a really good idea, Mr. Wheeler, thank you, and they don't know any better.
Well, there you go. They don't know any better. Okay, and I happen to know that many of them do because I happen to know members of my audience. I know a lot of them. And I know they know what a refrigerated bottle of wine represents, which is a cheap bottle of wine, and sitting on a curb represents having nowhere else to go. In other words, homeless, or perhaps alcoholic. Perhaps that curb is in Skid Row.
Perhaps. But see, what you want to do is you want to go down that road. You want to skip down the road of disappointment until you reach the dead end of DTs and 100, you know, straight Applejack, 100 proof. That's what you want to do. And
no, I don't. In other words, they're all alcoholics?
I think that what Ted is saying is valid, Phil. You want, as Ted said, you want to tra-la-la down the alley of further diminishing returns until you reach the gurney of detox. And exactly. And you want your audience to be strapped to that gurney. You simply want to be one of the attendants. You don't want to be strapped to it with them.
Does anybody know what it is we're talking about here? Monday night, straight out of the chute, if you'll pardon the expression, and I said shoot, not.
You sure you don't mean another vowel?
No, I don't mean a different vowel. And here we are talking about people. Okay, let's forget all about it. Let's get back to what it was we were going to talk about, which is the National Football League, the expectations of fans, the taxability, the tax liability, the NFL, as we just said, Dean. Is not the football teams themselves. The NFL is the umbrella organization. It's like a trade association.
Oh, yeah, right.
Well, I mean, so you deny that.
Dean, you know, we were doing very good. You're not going to start to get me angry, are you? No, I'm not going to get you angry. I just simply, when you say that the NFL is nothing more than a trade association, that is, I think that's not speaking the truth fully.
Well, the NFL, come on. Are you trying to tell me the National Football League is something more than that? The member teams, all right, that's what makes up the NFL.
All right, well, let me say something on behalf of Mr. Hendry. Didn't you get all of that from Phil?
That's true.
Did I what?
Didn't you get all of what you just said from Phil? You didn't really know how to present your case until you heard Phil.
No.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
No, that's not exactly right.
That's exactly right. When I started talking about it, that's when you said, oh, yeah.
No, what do you mean, oh, yeah? You don't even know what I was thinking. You don't know where I was. It was during a commercial break.
You were sitting there on the phone waiting for us to come back from the commercial.
Where was I?
I'll take a guess on that.
Go ahead.
The bathroom.
So, all right, so that's logical.
What was I doing?
Never mind what you were doing. You got your argument. I'll debate you, Dean. And the fact is that the National Football League is the umbrella organization, is the trade association. It is not the money-making engine of the NFL.
And you're pretty sure of that?
I'm absolutely sure. It's not the money-making engine of those teams. The teams are the ones that make the money. And they are not a non-taxable entity because they're simply a trade association, a league, a professional football league. Why would a professional football league be exempt?
I'm sorry, Phil, say that again.
Why would this professional football league be exempt? I think Pete Rozelle and the owners of the NFL and the AFL said, hey, why are we treated any differently?
Well, here's a question. If the NFL is treated that way, what about Major League Baseball? Just like he said, what about the hockey? What about the hockey? What about the hockey? Why doesn't the hockey get the same tax-exempt status?
I don't know. Maybe they ought to apply. Maybe they ought to, find their way over to a meeting of the whoever the hell makes these laws, like the United States Congress, and apply for that kind of status. The NFL did. And they have so ruled, and I would say that the National Hockey League or the Major League Baseball or the NBA, they might try applying some of the same pressure and some of the same arguments.
Well, I don't think they do it because they know they get shot down. And if they get shot down, the NFL is up for grabs, too. I think the National Football League will be looked at anew. And I don't think it'll be very pleasant. Wheeler, I was listening to what you were saying, and I don't like what you're saying. In fact, I don't even like you. I do appreciate you getting my back at the beginning of this. I think that when we're talking about businesses, and we're talking about very lucrative businesses like the National Football League, I think they must be tax-exempt from the standpoint of the trade association, the umbrella association, and so forth. When you talk about the NBA, I don't care, no one watches that. When you talk about the NHL, I don't care, no one watches that. And when you talk about Major League Baseball, no one can figure out how Major League Baseball is run. The NFL is the only organization that makes any sense that we give this tax-exempt status to. I don't know what he said.
What do you mean nobody cares?
No one cares about the NBA or the NHL. No one cares. No one. No fan of the NBA can even begin to understand tax law. No fan of the NHL it cares because they're all Canadians. Major League Baseball, no one's been able to figure out how that's run. That leaves the NFL.
Well, that's asinine, okay?
Well, it may be asinine. Go ahead and prove me wrong.
Nobody in the NBA can understand tax law.
None of the fans can. And the NHL is, hello, Canadian. Those people don't care about U.S. tax law. I don't know how they run things in Canada. And as far as Major League Baseball goes, I'll say it again, no one knows who runs Major League Baseball. No one knows how it's done. No one. Well, I don't. I can't. That's right. You can't. Well, I just...
No one knows how Major League Baseball is run.
Go ahead. You know? Do you know?
Hold on. Major League Baseball has a commissioner. Major League Baseball has a commissioner hired by the owners. It's one league. It's one league.
What is?
Major League Baseball. It is one league. Essentially, it's one league. It's not two leagues. It's one. It's just one organization.
One organization. Do they own the teams? Because if they own the teams, if Major League Baseball owns the teams, which I don't think they do, then they've got a big problem. But who knows? Who knows who owns what? See, that's what I'm saying. And so that's why I say the NFL is the only sports league in America that makes any sense at all, that anybody can figure out, that anyone knows anything, that anyone would even want to... To think of the other three makes me sick to my stomach. I can't figure it out. Yeah, thanks a lot, Dean.
All right, Dean, you have anything you want to say then?
No, I got confused. Yeah, see what I'm saying? You're good to jump in here and...
All right. We'll be right back, 877-876-PHIL, as we talk here with Dean Wheeler and Ted Bell about why the National Football League is essentially a tax-exempt organization. But folks, remember, we're not talking about the teams. We're not talking about the member teams. They're the ones that make the money. They're the ones that pay the corporate taxes. They're the ones that pay the payroll taxes. The NFL that we're talking about is that trade association name. That is the umbrella organization that these ball clubs belong to. We'll be right back. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I was going to say that we have Ted Bell here with us, along with Dean Wheeler. But we also have...
Thanks a lot. You know, we want to get some bills paid here,
so... Ted, easy.
Sorry.
Steakhouse. Get to Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down here and get a steak. Get something. Never mind. Henry.
What?
Well, you got to be reminded to play my commercial. Anyway, Hell is for Heroes this Sunday.
Ted, you gotta, don't... Don't tell me, just talk to me off the air.
Talk to you off the air? I just said Hell is for Heroes on Sunday. Come on down and watch it.
Great, but you were bellyaching that I didn't get to the commercial in time.
Well, you know, you do this.
All right, Ted's with us along with Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Society as we talk about football. And, Dean, do you like football?
I like football, yeah. I enjoy it. I enjoy watching it being played. And I always get that question because people will assume that I don't like football because I have an attitude that is one of sensitivity. And I haven't... My overall attitude or my presentation, some people think, is a metrosexual kind of attitude.
That was what struck me.
Well, Ted, if you can hold off for a minute, I'm talking to Phil. That I have a metrosexual attitude.
We're doing a give and take here.
Right. I mean, I just hold on.
Okay. I'll start again. If I said we, that would infer Ted, and I don't want him to get upset with me.
Inferring what?
Don't worry about it, Ted. He made a mistake. But the point being that a lot of people don't think that you are that much of a football fan, but indeed you are.
Oh, absolutely. I'm a very much a football fan. I am a 49er fan, first and foremost. But I also realized that we've spent an awful lot of money. We've spent an awful lot of money trying to make these people comfortable. And I just think the time has come for taxpayers, for individuals with families, individuals with businesses. I think the time has come for all of us to put our foot down and say, enough is enough. We no longer need to expend the amounts of money that we do on these ball clubs, whether they're football or basketball or baseball or any of them, and to pull back the dollars that we give to them and begin to invest, I think, more intelligently.
I see things differently, Phil, as you might well guess. I have a restaurant that I run, and on Sundays and Saturdays, a great deal of the traffic is directed into the prime rib room, which is our cocktail lounge to watch sports. And most of the time, it's football. This Sunday, we're going to be running a war movie, Hell is for Heroes, because I can't get anybody into my lounge when there's no football. Now,
And basketball and hockey doesn't do it.
Basketball and hockey doesn't do it, no.
I like hockey. I would go and see that.
That's wonderful, but there's not enough people like you, Dean. And, I knock wood, and I'm sorry to...
Okay, what does that mean?
Well, what it means is this. It doesn't mean anything. I didn't mean to offend you. I'm not here to offend you, but
When I said that I would watch hockey, and you said that there aren't enough people like me...
I was saying, regrettably, there are not enough people like you.
And then you said knock wood.
You did say knock wood.
What are you doing now, Henry? Are you trying to cause a fight?
No, I'm just saying Mr. Henry was agreeing with me.
Mr. Henry was agreeing with you.
I heard you say knock wood.
I said knock wood because I was glad there's not more people like Mr. Wheeler, because if there were...
Uh-huh.
No, hold on. Because if there were more people like Mr. Wheeler, there would be more intelligent people who would demand a higher quality of entertainment than Hell is for Heroes, and I'd be really in trouble. As it is, I can maybe get some business into my prime rib room showing a war movie, but that's it. And if people really see what it is I'm doing, which I think is a good thing that I'm doing, but Dean is a very
Well, it doesn't make any difference, Ted. I know that you're trying to insult me. And
I'm not trying to insult you. I'm saying that if there were more people like you...
Ted, you were trying to insult him. And now you're backpedaling and saying, no, I wasn't trying to insult him. And you're doing that because you got caught red-handed. The fact is, you were accusing Dean, or you were making an inference that Dean's some kind of a sissy.
No. I'm sorry, Phil. I'm sorry you can't get that one going. I'm sorry that you can't cause a homophobic riot out in the streets of L.A. tonight.
Well, is that what you meant?
Who am I speaking with?
Dean Wheeler. I'm Dean Wheeler.
What?
I'm Dean Wheeler.
I can't understand this.
Dean Wheeler, that's the guy you were talking to.
You're Dean Wheeler.
Yes.
Well, you suddenly became much less of a man than the one that I was talking to. Let me talk to the guy that was on the air with me.
I'm Dean Wheeler.
No, he's fading away. He's fading away, Phil.
Dean, are you there?
Yes.
Well, say it louder. Are you there, Dean?
Oh, you see, Henry, that is my point exact. Here's a guy that comes on here and is going to try to tell me the lay of the land about football, and the guy has faded away. Dean!
What?
See? He's almost gone.
Well, I don't know what happened to him. We'll have to get...
Yeah, you do that.
We'll have to get our technicians on it.
Yeah, you get your technicians. You need a sorcerer. You need a wizard.